Andrew Carl is an award-winning professor and executive in residence and founding director of the program in senior housing administration at George Mason University in Fairfax, Virginia. Mr. Carl has received national and international recognition for identifying and defining a new category of senior housing, and one that I find extremely interesting, university-based retirement communities, or UBRCs. As part of his work in technology, he served as an advisor to the development of the first GPS shoe for individuals with Alzheimer's at risk of wandering. And his book, Moments, Memories, and Mission, Stories from the Field of Assisted Living, received a Silver Award during the 15th Annual National Mature Market Media Competition, and Mr. Carl was recognized by Senior Living Executive Magazine as one of six people of influence for the senior living industry. Andy, that covers a lot of ground. Welcome.
It sure does. Thanks for that.
Current statistics indicate that about 60% of people living with Alzheimer's are going to wander, and that of those lost over 72 hours, only 20% survive. So these are really sobering statistics.
Well, I mean, they really are. I mean, we've got 5 million people afflicted today and short of a cure, which you and I know is not imminent, unfortunately. We're looking at that number as much as tripling or even quadrupling by 2050. So you're looking at potentially 20 million people just in the United States. You're looking worldwide, by the way, over 100 million people worldwide by 2050. So this is a huge, huge issue when we know that 60% of them, as you mentioned, wander. By the way, 70% of those who wander once will wander three or more times.
Really?
So it's really exponential in terms of those that do wander. It's not a one-time thing. It's something that the caregivers in particular are dealing with all the time. In fact, one study showed that that is the number one cause of stress. Number one cause of stress in the life of caregivers of people with Alzheimer's-related dementia, other than the disease itself, obviously, is the fear of that person wandering off and becoming lost. So this is a huge, huge issue.
And once they get out of the bubble of security of your home or their home, that clock is really ticking for their survival.
It really does. I mean, you mentioned the one statistic. There was a study done a number of years ago. It was a small sample, but actually nearly half of them had died in that study within 24 hours. So, and you know, if you think about it, these are typically older, frail adults. So they're, whether it's exposure or injury or dehydration, it's not a good thing when they become lost. And then the compounding factor, Gary, is that they're not easy to find. They will not respond to calling out their name. In fact, sometimes they will actually hide from the people calling their name because of paranoia, and they're afraid that someone's after them. Or they may not even recognize their own name and just keep wandering and walking. So it's not the same as looking for someone else. You or I get out, you know, camping, we get lost, somebody looks for us, we're going to respond. These folks often don't respond, and as I said, sometimes even hide.
You put something on their wrist or you make them wear something and it might scare them. I mean, so that's kind of what's interesting about the GPS shoe that you are part of creating. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, I mean, and that's actually the critical variable is you have to hide it. You know, GPS isn't new. GTX Corporation, the company that makes the GPS smart sole, and Patrick Bertagna, who actually invented it, they did two things that were very unique. One, they were able to miniaturize it small enough to fit inside of an insole. Looks like a Dr. Scholl's or one you would buy, you know, an insole you'd buy at any pharmacy. But it actually has very miniaturized GPS technology within it. But the second component of that is the one that's the most, maybe the most important, which is that allows you to then hide it on the person because, as I mentioned a second ago, the two primary manifestations of Alzheimer's and related dementia are confusion and paranoia. Those are the two primary manifestations. So in the early stages, they're going to be confused and they will routinely remove anything placed upon them with which they're not familiar because it's not theirs. So they'll take it off. It doesn't matter if it's on their wrist or around their neck or even tagged onto their sweater. If they feel it and discover it, they'll remove it. More critically is when the paranoia begins to set in, at which point they will actually, up to the point of injuring themselves, remove it. So unfortunately, you know, in the past we've had these devices and the manufacturers will tell you to actually lock it onto their wrist or their ankle. Well, that really flies in the face of what clinicians know would be the appropriate thing to do with these folks because they will, in fact, hurt themselves up to the point of breaking their wrist to get that thing off. So really, really important that we're able to hide it. And obviously placing it in their shoe is the ideal place to hide it.
It doesn't have to be new shoes. It could be their shoes that they're comfortable with. For the most part, if you're running around outside, the last thing you're going to take off is your shoes.
Well, yeah, you know, it's actually interesting. There are, a lot of people don't realize this. There are three types of memory, but the one that's most relevant with Alzheimer's is procedural memory. It's actually the last type of memory that's retained in individuals with Alzheimer's. And procedural memory, most people would know the term, is also known as habitual memory. So it's things that we do out of habit. And getting dressed is one of those procedural things that we do. So even into the early to mid, even into the later stages of the disease, an individual may not only be able to dress themselves, or if their caregiver dresses them, they will typically stay dressed. And that includes, of course, wearing your shoes. They've owned, you know, dozens, sometimes hundreds of pairs of shoes throughout their life. And so putting on their shoes is literally part of their procedural memory. They're perfectly comfortable doing it. Actually, very, very unusual to find somebody without their shoes on, if they've been dressed or dressed themselves. And as you mentioned, because these are insoles, they can go into any shoes. They're no different than the insoles you would buy at a pharmacy. You can cut them to size, place them right into the shoes. They're actually very, very comfortable. It's not unusual for them, even if they get up in the middle of the night, to put their shoes on to go out, again, because of the procedural memory. Now, I want to be clear with that. Certainly there are family members who say, wait a minute, you know, that's not a given. It's not, but it's actually more untypical than typical for them to be outside without shoes. It's actually very unusual. And you know, the other thing with it is what you just referenced as well, is the whole dignity issue, especially for individuals in the very early stages who may not want everybody in the world to know that they're dealing with Alzheimer's. And this is a way for them to wear these in their shoes without anybody even knowing that if they get in trouble, they can be located.
How does it work? Your loved one wanders, and then what?
Yeah, well, it's really pretty easy. You put it in their shoe. It uses the same technology as cell phone, cellular tracking, GPS and cellular tracking. You place it on a little static charging pad overnight, just the same way you charge your cell phone every night. And in the morning, when they get dressed, you slide it into their shoe, their right shoe, and then the other one is just a matching one that goes in their left and can stay there. The only one you need to charge is the one in the right shoe. And they put on their shoes and wear it. That's all the individual afflicted has to do, is literally put on their shoes every day. The caregiver or family member, an authorized user, has access to a website. So these come fully activated with a web account, and it allows you to log on at any time and check the status of the shoe, check the charge of the shoe. But the most important thing it does is it allows you to locate them at any time simply by logging onto your smartphone or your computer and sending a signal. We call it a ping. And in about 30 seconds, if you don't know where they are, it'll locate them for you using GPS or cellular.
Are you saying GPS or cellular, as if they're two different concepts?
Well, it uses both the GPS satellites and cellular networks, which obviously maximizes your ability to access all of the signals in the airwaves, as it were, to find them. So it's better. It's better than just GPS or just cellular. It's both. There is another feature that is included, which is called a geozone or a geofence. And you can go onto the account and set up a perimeter. You just drag and click the mouse and make a little circle. You can set it up in multiple. You can set up multiple. You can set up one around your church, around the daycare center or whatever. But long story short, that geozone or geofence acts as a backup signal. So if they are wearing their insoles and they wander outside of that geozone, even if you didn't notice they were gone, you will also receive emails or text messages automatically with a link to a Google map showing you that not only did they leave the zone, but exactly where they are. So this is a pretty nice system. I mean, family caregivers can obviously check themselves right away, or even if it's been a few minutes and they didn't notice, they'll receive an alert.
What's the spectrum of people who can use this?
Really, you know, anyone who's at risk of wandering and becoming lost and does not have the abilities to rescue themselves or locate themselves or respond to a typical search and rescue. So this is essentially, obviously, people with Alzheimer's-related dementia. This is for autistic children. We see, as you know, huge growing population of this incidence, and these are caregivers as well, as you know. And they all have the one thing in common, which is this fear of this person wandering off and becoming lost and not being able to get themselves home.
I love that geozone. I think that's really smart.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is a very nice system for families, and it's all the things we've been talking about. First of all, it protects their dignity. You know, nobody has to even see this. This isn't about being embarrassed by wearing a tracker or something like that. Secondly, when you have issues of confusion and paranoia, it is clinically appropriate to hide this on them because they may hurt themselves trying to remove it otherwise. And then we get into the whole caregiver side, which is, you know, as we said, the stressors on the caregivers. This is peace of mind for these caregivers. You know, this is knowing that all your loved one has to do is have their shoes on, and, you know, and you don't have to be afraid about going to the bathroom or going into the kitchen for 2 minutes to make a sandwich and living with this constant fear that when you come back, they may be gone. And then wondering for how long are they going to be gone and what could happen in that time frame. This is the ability, if they are gone, to locate them literally within, you know, a minute. Or if their geozone alert is sent to you and you didn't even realize that they had stepped out for a few minutes, having the peace of mind and knowing that the geozone's going to let you know that they left the area and also tell you exactly where they are. And by the way, this is for police departments as well, who don't have to send out, you know, 100 police officers and helicopters and divers in the lake and everything else to go looking for someone, when they could, in fact, if needed, send one police car to go, you know, pick up this person at the exact location where they know they are and return them to their families.
You know, also as an expert in senior housing, this has to be very exciting for you because it opens the whole spectrum of housing options. Somebody doesn't necessarily have to live in a locked-in environment.
It's huge for senior housing, and it's huge in terms of options for all caregivers. If you look at the number of senior daycare centers in this country, which, you know, many of which do a terrific, terrific job, and then they reach a point where mom or dad's not allowed to go to the daycare center anymore because they might wander. Well, you can set up a geozone around that daycare center, and now they can continue to go see their friends and receive daycare. Or in senior housing, assisted living communities, as you mentioned. You know, not all families want to have to move their mom or dad into the really most expensive memory care or Alzheimer's programs in those communities if they don't, in fact, need all of the services of those. You know, those memory care units are kind of like the ICU in hospitals. They're very specialized and very expensive programs. Well, not everybody needs everything in those programs, if in fact their one issue is they're fine with their friends and they're fine in the regular assisted living, but, you know, the staff's a little worried about them going out the door. So this is a way for them to be able to wear these shoes around their friends, stay in assisted living, and not move into that memory care unit and incur that expense until they really need all those services.
How do people get this?
Well, it's available online right now. You just go to www.gpssmartsoul.com, all one word, gpssmartsoul.com. And any family members, caregivers can go online and order it right now. It's meant, there are some men's, women's sizes. It's just like the insoles you buy at the pharmacy. And then you sign up for your monitoring service as well at that time.
What is the one most important piece of advice that you'd like to share with family caregivers?
It really, to me, always comes down to a central issue with families. And it's the very first rule is, are they safe? You know, there's a lot of things we deal with aging parents or other special needs populations, children or even young adults. But I always tell families the same thing. Start with whether or not they're safe. Make sure that they are in the safest environment for them. All of the other things can be addressed. But if they're not safe, it doesn't matter what else you're doing. And it's going to cause you stress. It's going to put a lot of pressure on you to have to deal with that extra variable. So, you know, anything we can do to help bring peace of mind to the caregivers and help them with that burden, which we know statistically, by the way, not only wears them down, but can make them physically ill from the stress. If we can help with that, then that'll relieve the burden on them and all these other things that we know they have to work so hard to do every day.